It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hi, everybody. This is episode 38 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
Maya.
Diane.
And we have a very special guest co-hosting this episode with us. Say hi to Sarah, everybody.
Hi, y'all.
Or say hi to everybody, Sarah. Flip that.
Hi, everybody.
They're not talking to you. Anyway, Sarah is a very, very special guest host, and we will get to why when it comes time in the episode. But first, a quick announcement. The Taylor Talk Twitter contest is going to be ending this week on the 15th, so be sure to get your entries in for that. Again, follow us on Twitter. Look at the Twitter profile bio on twitter.com/TaylorTalk13, and it's got all the directions to enter. All right? Cool. Thumbs up. Go enter. Maya, please give us the calendar.
Okay. Our first super exciting thing is that the pre-sales for the Red Tour started today, so you should have gotten emails with the pre-sale codes. And if you didn't yet, that probably just means that your city didn't go on sale yet. So you can head over to taylorswift.com and find out all the information and make sure that you sign up for the email list so that you'll get the pre-sale codes for when your city goes on sale. Our second item is that on November 15th, Taylor is going to be performing State of Grace for the very first time on X Factor. And that's going to be at 8, 7 Central on Fox. So make sure that you tune in and watch that.
And the third item, November 18th, American Music Awards. Taylor is nominated for Favorite Female Country Artist. And voting is closed, so let's keep our fingers crossed. 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Thanks for that, Sarah and Maya. Sarah, your accent's amazing. I love it.
I like listening to it, too. It makes me happy.
Let's just all listen to Sarah talk today.
We should just have her do the whole episode. Just the Sarah show.
Thank you.
All right, Diane, news, please.
Okay, our first item of news is a little bit sad. Our lovely Taylor has a cold, unfortunately. Mm. So get well soon, Taylor.
Sorry, that's kind of soft news, but news nonetheless.
Well, it's important to her, so it's important to us.
And it's important considering what she just did today that Diane is going to talk about in 2 seconds.
Yes. Taylor Swift performed at the European Music Awards. She performed We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together. And it was insane. It was crazy. I really liked it. What did you guys think of this?
Oh my gosh, that performance was mind-blowing.
I was blown away. Adam apparently peed his pants, according to his Twitter.
Literally. No, not literally.
I think I did when I watched that performance. Look, so that performance was amazing. Like, as if Taylor didn't have enough talents already. She's singer, songwriter, poet, sort of a dancer. But now she's a magician, too. She's a magician and circus performer, too. Like, that was amazing.
And she looked beautiful.
And she Amos look looked beautiful. Awesome. Can we talk about him for 2 seconds? That was, like, one of my favorite parts. Like, Amos being the magician and doing the whole thing. I know I love him a lot. Sorry.
It was so cool. Like, if that was any preview of what's to come on the Red Tour.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to follow her around to every single tour stop and see every
Wait,
single
imagine
show
imagine if,
on
like,
tour.
The Red Tour is, like, circus themed. I don't know why that would happen.
That would be so cool.
Imagine if it was.
Yeah,
and that was
like
how she like opened the show.
That would be awesome. Maybe she'll steal that idea from us. Steal that idea.
Yeah.
Taylor, give us
Taylor,
some credit
if you
steal that idea.
Or if you don't steal that idea, give credit anyway.
Yeah.
But no, overall it was really cool. It actually reminded me of a Cirque du Soleil performance.
Yeah, me
Nobody's
too. There was apparently there was 40 different acrobats and dancers and things on the stage.
What about the guy with the fire batons? How cool
was
that?
That was crazy. I was sure he
was
going to burn his hair off. Yeah, all the
I always
fireworks
worry about those
and everything.
People.
Oh my God, it was just so cool.
Maybe losing some eyebrows? That'd be a shame. But anyway, if you guys missed that performance, we're going to have it up in the episode guide on taylortalk.org, a video of it from YouTube. So go check that out if you missed it. Last bit of news.
I didn't say what she won yet.
Just kidding. Not the last bit of news yet. We're still on EMAs.
We are. We have to talk about the awards that Taylor won tonight. She won Best Female Artist, Best Look, and Best Live. So congratulations to Taylor for those. Unfortunately, she lost Best Pop and Best World Stage to Justin Bieber, but, you know, they're friends, so I'm sure there's no hard feelings with
and
that.
I mean, three out of five is still really good, especially because it's a European award show. Like, that's awesome.
Sure. Totally. Now for the actual last bit of news. The Red Tour VIP packages have been announced. There was a lot going on about it. People were questioning it. Now they're still questioning it. To answer the questions, there are no meet and greets in the packages. There are two different packages. One is the Red Ultimate Experience, which includes one incredible top price reserved floor seat for the first 20 rows, one autographed copy of Red, one entry into the official pre-show VIP party, an exclusive on-site VIP perks, and one premium Taylor Swift VIP bag. Second offer is the Red Bonus Package, which includes one amazing top-priced reserve ticket in the lower level, one premium Taylor Swift VIP gift bag created exclusively for the Taylor Swift VIP packages, and a gift bag, that gift bag also contains one commemorative VIP laminate and matching lanyard. So the full details on that can be found at taylorswift.com/VIP_packages. So go check that out. Now that the boring stuff's out of the way, the exciting stuff. Why is Sarah with us on the show today? So you guys remember in episode, 36 that we talked about all of Taylor's release week stuff?
Yeah, it was 36.
Two episodes ago? Yeah. We were talking about, on Good Morning America, a screaming, crying, awesome super fan on Good Morning America that won a trip to go see Taylor's Good Morning America performance and get to meet her. That screaming, awesome, crying, totally cool fan was Sarah. So, Sarah, now that I've completely embarrassed you, right?
Yeah, I was just, laughing and putting beat right there
for a second. Aww. Well, Sarah's here to tell us her story about the Good Morning America experience. So why don't we start at the beginning? How did you enter to win in the first place?
Well, the contest actually started on October 12th, but I didn't find out about it until the 14th. And my friend Bernice and I actually entered together. We were like, if you win, you take me, and if I win, I'll take you. So we kind of worked on it together. We, text all of our friends, all of our family, and we're like, interested in this contest, we really want to win, and I actually won, and it was crazy. So,
so you had to be nominated to win?
Yes, to be nominated to win. You couldn't, you can nominate yourself, but you could only nominate someone one time. So I was like, everybody I knew, please enter me in this. I know a lot of people thought I was crazy, and I was like, I don't care, I just really want to win.
And you did, so you were crazy.
Which is nuts.
So, Sarah, how did you find out you won?
Well, on October 20th, which is actually Saturday, I got a call from Eric Jones, which is awesome. He works for Good Morning America, and he told me that they had the finalists whittled down to single digits. So in my head, I'm going, wait, okay, single digits is like 9 people, give or take. And he told me he couldn't tell me exactly which number I was, but that they would call me back later and let me know who won. And while he had me on the phone, he just asked me to tell him more about my love for Taylor. So told him, what a nun I am, staying up till midnight downloading songs and actually getting engaged at the Country Music Hall of Fame Museum at her exhibit. And he was kind of, I guess he already knew that story, but acted like he didn't know. And
well, you told that story, or they told that story on Good Morning
America.
Yeah,
that was so cool. I mean,
do you want to embellish on that?
Sure.
Or should we wait a minute for you to finish your thought?
Well, my fiance and I were actually visiting my family in Oklahoma, and we had driven, and I live in North Carolina, so we had to drive through Tennessee anyway, and I told him I really wanted to stop at the Country Music Hall of Fame just to see the exhibit. So we stayed in a hotel the night before, and that morning he wakes me up, and he's like, why don't you put on, like, a pretty dress, and we'll, go to the exhibit, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to wear a dress, I want to wear my Taylor Swift shirt. And he was like, why? Don't you want to, get dressed up for Taylor? And I'm like, no, I want to be comfortable.
That's so cute.
So I was like in a, sweatpants and a Taylor Swift t-shirt. And I had no idea what was going on. So we get there. And my mom was actually with us. And she stayed in the car, which I thought was weird. But I thought it was just because of the price of the entrance to the museum. And I was like, okay, whatever. I was really excited just to see the exhibit. So we go in and, we pay and we start, we go on the elevator and we go. And, I don't know if any of you were actually there, but, or probably seen pictures, but she had the dresses, and then the name of the song for each outfit that she wore, on the tour. So Chase is like, hey, babe, look, this is the story of us. When we met, sparks flew. Our love was enchanted. We're going to live long, we're going to long live because that's our love story. And I'm just like, you're so corny. Like, I didn't know Taylor what Pons. Was going on. Now I feel like so silly about it because I was giving him, you know, H-E double hockey sticks about it. And yeah. So I mean, it was really just blew me away. Got down on his knee, pulled out my ring. And actually, the special thing about my ring is my dad's a jeweler in Oklahoma, and he actually constructed my ring, so it's just special all the way around.
So at what part in the exhibit were you proposed to?
And everyone thinks it was actually in front of the love story, but I just wanted to take a picture in front of there. It was actually where her home videos were. I was standing there looking at the home videos, and I guess he was, like, looking around behind me. I thought he was just looking at the rest of the exhibit. And then he comes around, he's like, hey, babe, look at me. And, like, I turn, he's on the ground. I'm thinking, like, what are you doing on the ground? And he pulls out the ring, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing. I was shocked that he did it there. So, yeah, people were looking at us, and I was like, oh, I'm getting engaged right here at the museum. Weird. But it was awesome.
Wow, sir, that's really cute. I was sitting here kind of, like, smiling the whole time with that adorable story. So I think that's probably, like, one of the reasons that you got picked.
Yeah, when we were in New York, I met the lady that actually chose me as the winner, and she said it was based on my and Chase's entry that I won. So I guess he wrote some really good stuff.
Cool. Who would have thought you get engaged and it wins you a trip to meet Taylor Swift?
I know.
That's the perfect love story. Taylor Pudd.
Just say yes. Ah, Taylor Pudd again. So what happened then after they notified you that you won? Like, how'd that whole process work? Because we saw you on Skype, which was probably from home, right?
Actually, I spent the night with my friend Bernice because she's got a really good computer and internet connection, and if I had one, I was going to take her with me anyway. So I stayed with her, and they actually told us that they called on Sunday, which was the 21st, and said that I was top three, which at that point I didn't know I'd won. And they said they wanted me to Skype in and talk to them, and so I really didn't know what was going on. I had like hopes that they were just, you know, pulling my leg and that I'd won, but I wasn't sure. So they Skype us in. It's 6:30 in the morning. They wanted to check the audio to make sure everything was going to work. And they actually said, thank you all for holding. And so I look at Bernice, I'm like, oh no, we didn't win, or we might not win. And she was like, oh, it's fine. So then when they actually started the Skype, I couldn't see Taylor. It was just like a black. I could just only see myself. And when they announced he's the winner, I mean, it was just like a real natural reaction. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is not happening. And
oh, we know it was a natural reaction. We saw you cry.
I know. It's so crazy. People were actually posting on my Facebook screenshots of me winning, and like my mouth's open. It's just all these unattractive photos. I'm like, really, guys? This is so embarrassing.
Well, they're just jealous that they didn't win. That's why.
So, yeah, and then after that, it was really fast. They said they were sending a car. They were going to take us to the airport. They had told us prior to this that we needed to have our bags packed and just in case we won. And so we were ready to go. My local news actually came over and did a quick interview. Then the car came. We got in the car, went to the airport, got on the plane. We're in New York City. It was just a whirlwind. And when we actually got to New York, we just checked into the hotel and we could do anything we wanted to that night. We didn't have anything we had to, so we got to enjoy the city. So then the next morning, we get up, and we had to be in the lobby at 5:30 to meet. Yeah, it was really early.
That is early.
We had to meet Eric Jones down there. He was the guy that actually called me, so I was really excited to meet him. And we go down there, and he escorts us through a mob of people waiting to see Taylor, and we just felt like so VIP. It was just the weirdest feeling, like, because I guess, like, I'm not anybody special, so I'm, like, walking through these people who are waiting to see Taylor, and I'm thinking, I could very well be one of these just random people in the crowd waiting to see Taylor, and it was just so surreal.
But you're glamorous.
Yeah, it was like, wow, we're somebody today. So we go into Good Morning America, and they have, this is just a weird side note, the hugest elevator I have ever seen in my life. I guess because they have to, like, transport sets. So this thing, I can't even explain. It was humongous. So that was kind of cool. But they...
I'm sorry, what a simple pleasure. They have the biggest elevator in the world.
That was so cool.
It's not something you see every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It is cool. I would have been excited by that too, yeah. Sarah. No,
I guess, like,
that
when you're on your way to, like, do something that cool, like, everything is exciting. Even the
elevator. Yeah. Exactly. We were excited about everything. Like, just the small things. We took pictures of everything in our bedroom because we wanted to memorize everything in the room. Memorize the whole experience. But so after we're in the huge elevator, we go to the green room at Good Morning America and wait. Just wait around. So we're watching, like, Taylor, you know, do her sound check on TV. And then they come back and get me and take me to do hair and makeup. And then after that, we go outside for the concert, and they give me the microphone, and that's where I held onto that thing. Like, my knuckles were white. I was so nervous. So, I mean, everything else, I guess, she saw on TV. So then after she sings We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, I get interviewed by Sam Champion and another guy who's, like, the tallest person in the entire world. And I was just, like, they're just asking me questions about getting engaged at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they actually zoomed in on my ring, which is really cool because it's on national TV. It's just really neat. And then after that, after the concert was over, we go inside to do the meet and greet, and they had us in, actually held us in where they filmed Good Morning America with everybody else that was doing the meet and greet, and then came back in and were like, oh no, these are the winners. They get to go out here and meet her first. So that was, like, a plus and a minus because our pictures are, like, in this hallway with this green background. It's, like, not the prettiest pictures in the world, but it's still a Taylor Swift, so it's still beautiful. And the whole time I'm thinking, I really hope I don't cough all over Taylor Swift. And by the way, I'm not the one who got her sick, so y'all do not blame me for that. I have bronchitis.
Come
not
on.
Contagious.
You were busy, you were sick, you met Taylor. Now she's sick. Come on.
Sarah, don't worry. I don't blame you. Adam is being
Thank
mean, but
so
I don't
much.
Mean.
I am not mean. Okay, so, I'm mean.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It's okay. So we meet her, and she was actually on Voice Rise, so we didn't really get a chance to talk that much. And we got our pictures, we got our album signed, and then we got to talk to Andrea for a little while, and Bernice and I had written Taylor letters. So Andrea said that she would make sure she got the letters, and she told Bernice that she would actually read them to Taylor. So that was like, what? Andrea's going to read our letters to Taylor? It's just crazy.
That is so sweet of her, like, to just go the extra mile. Like, not even just like, oh yeah, I'll give them to her. Like, I'm going to read them to her.
Exactly. It's like, they're just classy, plus act people. I mean, top tier. That's pretty much it.
So overall, do you give your experience thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, definitely thumbs up.
Probably thumbs down.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
You had the worst day of your life, didn't you?
Ugh, it was just terrible. Terribly awesome.
So is there anything else you want to share with us before we wrap it up?
Follow me on Twitter. I am JonesArah13.
I follow her. She's fun.
Me too.
We're friends.
Yes, we're friends.
We're friends now. So thanks for sharing that story with us, Sarah. That was quite a story. I'm really glad you got to experience that.
Well, I'm really glad you guys had me on. I love the show. I think I was just excited about Taylor Talk as I was Good Morning America.
No. You're lying. That's not true.
No, I'm blushing with a big old smile on my face. That was so nice. So yeah, Sarah's going to be with us the rest of the episode as a special co-host. So let's carry on with the episode, shall we? Let's move on to our first mini segment of Swifties Rule the World / You Know You're a Swiftie When.
This one comes from Swift13_Jane, and they say, "You know you're a Swiftie when it starts to rain, so you run outside and start to sing Sparks Fly." I did that about 2 minutes ago.
That's cool.
That's cute.
Next one is a voicemail from Catherine. Catherine?
"You know you're a Swiftie when you dream of being on the Taylor Talk cast."
Oh, that's really nice.
That's so cute. Thank you.
That's really cute.
Okay, our next submission is from Julia on Facebook, and she said, "You know you're a Swiftie when your dad texts you when Taylor's on the radio, and you freak out because they're introducing Red and playing 3 songs after each other. They nearly never play Taylor songs on German radio, like ever, but I was having a huge dance party in my room." That's so awesome. I love that story.
Dance party.
That's so cute. Okay, "You know you're a Swiftie when you spend over $100 at Walgreens on new Red merchandise." And that's from Molly. It was an email.
Oh my god.
And I'm guilty. She bought like 3 of everything.
Wow. Do you know what's funny is I emailed her back and she did in fact buy over $100 worth of merchandise at Walgreens.
Really? Impressive. You like wanted to clarify that?
I did.
That sounds like you. This one is from Love is Endless on Taylor Connect, and they say, "You know when you're a Swiftie when you annoy your friend to give you a specifically red-colored pencil, even though it's her only one."
Taylor has brought a whole new thing to the color red. That's cool, though. Final submission for this episode is a voicemail from Queen. Queen? I hope I pronounced that right.
"Hello, you guys. Hello there, Swifties. This is Queen from the Philippines. If Swifties rule the world, there will be a continent named after her, and all the Swifties will live right there and enjoy Swiftie music. That would be cool, right?"
Yeah, that would be so cool if we had our own continent.
That would be really neat.
Thanks for sending that in. Now, our main discussion topic for this episode, we're finally kicking it off with song analyses again, beginning with Treacherous, recommended by our special guest, Sarah. So, Sarah, what's your opinion of Treacherous?
I love Treacherous. I think it's one of the best songs on the album. It's got such a, I mean, it's just, it's so sensual, and, I mean, it's definitely different. It's new for Taylor. I know a lot of people were a little bit thrown off by some of the lyrics, but I like the new Taylor. I like the grown-up adult Taylor. I think it's great.
Right? It's scandalous.
Yeah, it's passionate. It's sexy. I love it. Can I say that?
So, Maya, Diane, my regular co-host, what do you guys think of it?
I enjoy it, but I don't think I'm, like, as passionately attached to it as Sarah is, which, I mean, is fine. You know, we all have, like, our favorite songs. We all have the songs that we kind of don't like. I just feel like this song is, like, so different from what Taylor usually writes, and I feel like that might have come from Dan Wilson, the co-writer, because like especially at the end, the song ends with kind of like a different verse/bridge, and to me it seems almost sloppy. I don't know if anyone else has that opinion. Adam, do you
sloppy how? I don't quite get what you're getting at.
I just don't understand what she wants. Like, she just talks about she wants to get someone alone and she wants to follow him home. And that's creepy. Right? You guys think that's creepy? Like, she wants to follow him home.
I don't know.
I don't know about sloppy. It could be slightly creepy, but I think it's just not so much creepy like I'm stalking you and following you home.
I think that line does not make sense out of context. Like, it's like,
yeah,
nothing safe is worth the drive and I would follow you home. It's like a metaphor. It's not like I would actually follow you home. It's like that, I don't know, like things that are safe are not exciting. It's a metaphor. It's not like I'm a stalker and I'm going to follow you home in my car and watch you from the bushes, you know?
Yeah.
Right, which is a great metaphor, actually, because Taylor herself said it in, what was that video she said?
Stories from the Songs?
Yeah, that, when she was speaking about all the different songs and kind of what they're about. She was talking about that particular line, Maya, which I'm glad you pointed out, about how it sums up the entire album, when she said, nothing safe is worth the drive. And I would agree. This album to me is like an entire journey because it encompasses an entire relationship. And that's like symbolizing this drive. And it's a dangerous drive. It's a risky drive. You're risking having your heart broken, which apparently she did according to some of these songs. But like she said, nothing safe is worth
the drive. I mean, but like this isn't just any relationship. This is like the kind of relationship that you go into being pretty sure that it's going to end really, really badly. Like that you're going into this almost knowing that you're going to end up getting like completely and utterly destroyed by it. But you just do it anyways because something about that danger is what pulls you in even more.
That's what this entire song is about, too, Maya. I'm glad you hit on that. Like, the whole concept, this slope is treacherous. It's like the whole slippery slope thing.
Right? I don't know. I just love this song ever since the first time I heard it. I found it very relatable. And I know that I've been in this situation before. And it's just like, I don't know. I felt like I love how grown up she is. And at first I didn't like the end, like with the sort of the build up to this kind of big crazy end. But if you think about it, I feel like it sort of maybe represents the relationship a little bit, that it starts off kind of simple and then it builds up pretty quickly and it ends in this big sort of almost chaotic ending, kind of like the relationship itself. Woo. I don't know, but I love this song. I think it's beautiful and grown up and awesome.
This song was a grower for me. I wasn't a big fan at first, and the more I listen to it, the more it grows on me.
I think I feel the same way about it, too. Like, just, like, the ending I'm not, like, a super big fan of. But I love the beginning, and I love how slow it starts out, and I guess how, like, sensual that was.
You like the beginning because that's the scandalous part of the song.
I love the beginning.
It's a well-written verse.
Like, the first verse is, like, I think one of the best things that she's ever written. I'm like blown away by it every single time.
Oh yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like just the whole visual element of it, like you can picture in your head that moment where there's two people who are in love, their lips are close together, and then it's that thing that says till the gravity's too much, and all of a sudden they lock. It's like that moment of hesitation, then they go for it. Like you can picture the entire scene in your head. Is that,
it's like another metaphor for the whole relationship. This song is full of metaphors.
Word of the day, metaphor. Brought to you by Maya.
I actually really enjoyed the build of the song.
I did too. It took me a while to get used to it. And for a while, like I sort of wished that the whole song was quiet, but then when I thought about it being like that, I realized that it would not have been nearly as effective.
Right.
I think that's the intent of it, though, is having a build-up, because Taylor was talking about it being both dangerous and enticing. And I mean, something that's dangerous and enticing does have a build-up, and you're like, ah, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen?
And it also, like, you kind of get swept away. Like, when you're starting in a relationship, you're a little bit cautious, and then, like, she says, like, until the gravity's too much, and you finally decide you're gonna get into it, and then you kind of get swept away and lost and what you want to happen, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
I mean, I don't know, I think this song just sticks with me too, because it is one of the ones that Taylor played for us at the web chat, and it was like one of the very first impressions that I got of this album as a whole was this song. Like, this is the one that she chose to like show us what the album was going to be like, so it's sort of like, I don't know, like I think it sticks with me more because of that.
I wonder why that is. I wonder why that is one of the songs she chose to preview for the people who were at her webcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really glad that she did because I loved it. But, yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's because this song has any sort of particular meaning to her that maybe some of the other songs don't.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, she chose. It was a very, like, big difference. I mean, she did We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, obviously. She did this, and she did 22. So we sort of got like this interesting,
22 is good.
Very different
picture
of the album.
We're gonna have a good talk when we discuss that song. I honestly feel like maybe she previewed those songs because they're easy for her to play for a small setting. You know, she can just be her and her guitar, and she doesn't need like all the backup.
But like, maybe, 22 is a massively produced song that you would think you would need a lot of backup for.
Maybe she just wanted to give you guys a treat that the rest of the world had to wait on. You know, yeah, because she released all the other songs.
Yeah. I don't know, I liked that she played us two songs that weren't any of the ones that got released as previews. Because kind of the whole time we still had that, like, little, like, special thing of that we'd heard those songs and, you know, no one else heard them until the album actually came out.
Yeah, so Treacherous is also one of the deluxe songs in its demo, original demo recording form. So do you guys see a big difference between the two, the actual demo and the one on the regular album?
I mean, besides the obvious that the production is different, not too much.
You're right. I think that's it. I don't think there was a big difference, which is why I wonder why that was chosen as one of the deluxe items. Because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, this isn't really different.
You know, you get to hear a more stripped down version. Like, that's the version that they would have used to, like, bring to Scott Borchetta and be like, hey, I think this song should be on the album. So it's just sort of like a cool, like, little, like, it's like you get like a behind the scenes.
Right. But I just noticed with State of Grace and the State of Grace demo on the deluxe edition, there's a big difference.
It's not a State of Grace demo. Yeah, it's an acoustic version.
Is it? Sorry. Version. Just kidding. Scratch what I just said. So let's talk about Dan Wilson for a moment. He hasn't co-wrote a lot with Taylor. He did this song, Treacherous, and Come Back Be Here on the deluxe edition. So let's talk about some of his other work and see how it maybe compares. Like, I guess one of the things he's probably well known for in recent history is Adele's album, 21. He co-wrote a handful of songs, including Someone Like You.
And I think he produced it as well.
Well, he was a co-producer on it.
Yeah. That's pretty ridiculous, because, you know, that's like the best-selling album of the year, last year.
Yeah, and that song was like the theme song of 2011. That song was parodied on, like, SNL. It was all over the place. It's still all over the place. I hear it all the time on the radio. So, yeah, this is a big guy that Taylor got to work with.
Yeah.
Well, I think I see some similar styling between the two songs. They're both kind of slow but not. You know what I mean? They're not like slow songs, but they're not like fun dance party songs either.
Well, they're definitely powerful. I think that translates well.
Yeah.
Very emotional.
Powerful and emotional. So, I don't know. I kind of would like to say that some of that power and emotion did come from Dan Wilson. You know, and it's not all from Taylor. Although the thoughts and feelings are from Taylor. But some of the execution is Dan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like Dan took Taylor's idea and, like, crafted it and made it his own with the help of Taylor. Right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Exactly. Okay. Does anyone else agree? Or am I off base?
I can see that.
I think that's, like, why she wanted to work with these producers, is that they were sort of going to come in and take what she was doing and take it to a new level that she couldn't get to by herself. And I think that's exactly what he did.
So he did a great job of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's so cool that she was able to work with him. I mean, because he's a really well-respected producer. I mean, he's worked with so many people in so many different genres.
All right, my critic friends. So, Maya, two thumbs up, two thumbs down, thumb to the side. What do we got on Treacherous?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up?
Two thumbs Diane? Up.
I'm going to give it a between thumbs up and thumbs to the side. Like a thumb slanted. Can I do that?
A diagonal thumb?
A diagonal thumb.
You could do like one up and one to the side. Does that work?
Which, yeah, that works. Because
they average out to be a diagonal thumb.
Diagonal thumb.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up? I'm going to go one thumbs up on this because it's still growing on me. So moving along with the episode, this week we got no submissions for What Would Taylor Do or What Are Swifties Listening To. So you guys out there are slacking. Come on now. Get those submissions in, okay?
Send us your thoughts.
Since we're getting, like, none of them, if you send us one, we're probably going to use it.
Yeah, of course. So
you should do
that. If you want your voice heard, just send it.
And especially if you want your voice heard, you can actually have your voice heard by sending in a voicemail. You can visit taylortalk.org, click the Send Voicemail tab on the right side of the screen, or U.S. and Canada listeners can dial 240-31-SWIFT. Everybody else, you can email Facebook, Twitter,
Taylor Connect.
Taylor Connect. I can't even remember everything. That's why I don't expect you to, but you can visit taylortalk.org. And there's a contact tab at the top, and it's got all the different methods you can contact us. And that'll be awesome. So, hope you enjoyed our special guest. I'd like to thank you again, Sarah, for joining us.
And thank you so much for having me. I really
had fun. Yay. Yay! I'm glad you came.
So, for Taylor Talk episode 38, this has been Adam,
Maya,
Diane,
and Sarah.
Saying, have a great day, guys. See you next week.
Bye, guys. Virtual hand hugs.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.